Okay, welcome back. David Oates is indisposed, predisposed, otherwise not available. In fact, we haven't heard from him, so I think he kind of forgot, which happens. So we will take another little foray into the biggest story of our times. And I hope you find these interesting. I always find them, I shouldn't say all, 95% are very interesting. Sometimes I pick a clunker, and we usually dive out of that one. But here's one that just begs to be played. Sammy the Altman may actually be insane. He has trouble telling the truth and is one of the most manipulative people on the planet. Amazon even dumped a movie on Sammy the Altman's life. Now, I can't prove any of that. I wouldn't even try. But I can report it to you, which I have done. And now, we're going to actually play the video and find out for ourselves. I listened to a few minutes of it, and it was worthy of giving it a try. So let's do exactly that. Well, hold on. What is this? You are not connected to the internet. I better be. I'll reload the URL here. Hang on. Okay, there it is. Oh, it finally it cooperated. Okay. Let's see. I'll get rid of this. Bring this up. Okay. So here's the story of Sammy, the Altman, and it starts with him testifying before, I believe, Congress.
Sam Altman is one of the most powerful men in technology, which makes it worth asking why a nearly finished film about his life was quietly shelved before anyone could watch it. It had a multi-million dollar budget, Andrew Garfield in the lead, and Luca Guadagnino in the director's chair. Amazon's film studio was behind it. It was called Artificial, and it traced his rise and the company he built around himself. And then, with almost no explanation, Amazon pulled it. To understand why that's strange, you have to follow the money. Just a few months before the film was buried, Amazon had committed $50 billion to Altman's company. Around the same time, reporting emerged on what was in an early draft of the script, including a scene where a character based on Jeffrey Hinton, who is often called the godfather of AI, describes Altman as one of the most manipulative people on the planet.
Well... All right. Are we surprised? No. If you have read the story that I have posted, probing Sammy's earlier days and his rather sordid history in big business and big money, you won't be surprised.
A strange little story on its own, but it stops being strange once you realize how old the pattern is, because the story of Sam Altman runs back about 20 years to a small startup whose own employees tried more than once to have him removed. Long before OpenAI, there was a startup called Looped. It was a location-sharing app, and Altman co-founded it in 2005, not long after dropping out of Stanford. From the outside, it looked promising. It raised more than $30 million from serious investors. From the inside, it looked different. According to the Wall Street Journal, senior employees at Looped twice went to the board and asked them to fire Altman. They described his behavior as deceptive and chaotic. They said he pulled engineers onto his own side projects and that he had trouble telling the truth. Mark Jacobstein, who was Looped's chief operating officer, said that if Altman imagines something to be true, it sort of becomes true in his head. That trait showed up in how Looped talked about itself.
Ooh, fun stuff. Kind of like a tabloid magazine. Are they true statements? Seem like they might be. Let's go back and revisit those. Lying is the operative term here.
trouble telling the truth. Mark Jacobistein, who was Loop's chief operating officer, said that if Altman imagines something to be true, it sort of becomes true in his head. That trait showed up in how Looped talked about itself. A location-sharing app only works if enough people use it. Otherwise, you are just looking at yourself on a map. So the number of users was the whole game. Looped refused to say how many it had, and Altman insisted it had far more than any rival service. But according to Reuters, the app was struggling to break 500 daily users. This was a company that had once been valued at around $500 million.
Whoops. Can you say hustle? Can you say scam? Can you think about those terms? I don't know how you can't. I mean, this particular video's naming names, naming people, quoting sources, and after having spent quite a bit of time studying Sammy's background, none of this comes as a particular surprise to me.
When that figure came out, Altman insisted the real number was 100 times higher and promised to provide evidence, but he never did. In 2012, Looped was sold to a company called Green Dot, which shut the app down after the sale and never used the technology. For all the early promise, it was a quiet ending, a long way from the success story Looped had been pitched as. By this...
But why would Green Dot pay a dime for an app it was going to shut down immediately? What's going on here? It sounds like a pretty slick way to cover up a real big problem for somebody, doesn't it? Sort of? Yeah.
Story Looped had been pitched as. By this point, Altman had also taken a job at Y Combinator, the famous startup accelerator that had funded Looped in the first place. He started as a part-time partner, helping decide which young companies the firm would back. That same year, he started a venture fund of his own called Hydrazine Capital, with most of the money coming from Peter Thiel. He then put around 75% of that fund into Y Combinator startups.
Peter Thiel, ladies and gentlemen, Peter Thiel, once again, raises his head. Fascinating. The web they weave.
With most of the money coming from Peter Thiel, he then put around 75% of that fund into Y Combinator startups, which were the same companies he was helping pick. In 2014, Paul Graham, who co-founded Y Combinator and had mentored Altman, handpicked him to take over as president. For the next 5 years, Altman ran the most influential startup accelerator in the world. But running it for Altman increasingly meant running it for himself. A year into the job, he co-founded OpenAI, and as that side project pulled more of his attention, partners noticed he was treating Y Combinator's access and deal flow as a personal advantage. It was the Looped pattern again. The structures were his to use, and the line between the institution and his own interests kept getting thinner. And it did not end cleanly. Those complaints had reached Graham, and according to reporting in the Washington Post, he flew in from England to fire Altman in person. Publicly, though, none of that was the story. The exit was presented as a planned transition, where Altman moved into a chairman role to focus on OpenAI. Graham has since disputed the word fired, and said Altman is no less honest than other powerful people in Silicon Valley. By 2019, the pattern was two companies deep, and the people closest to him had gone from calling him careless to calling him a pathological liar.
Whoops, the big guns are coming out now. All right, I've been suggesting, do your homework, study up on this guy's background, and anything he says should be taken very carefully.
One of OpenAI's own co-founders had been quietly keeping track. Ilya Sutskever, the company's chief scientist, had worked beside Altman since the start, and somewhere along the way, he began writing things down. He compiled a document that ran to around 70 pages, drawn from Slack messages, HR records, and meeting notes. Most of what we know about it comes from a long investigation published in The New Yorker in April of this year by Ronan Farrow and Andrew Marantz. They spoke to more than 100 people and obtained more than 200 pages of private notes. The first page of Sutskever's document listed Altman's behaviours. At the top of the list was lying. It had taken Sutskever years to see it clearly. He said that Altman would tell him one thing, then say another, and wave off the gap as a slip. Something he'd simply misspoken. But a slip happens once. This kept happening. In December of 2022, Altman reportedly told the board that several features of GPT-4 had cleared safety review. When the board member Helen Toner asked to see the paperwork, it turned out that two of the more sensitive features had never been approved at all. Months later, the same thing happened again. OpenAI was preparing a new model, and Altman told the chief technology officer, Meera Murati, that it did not need safety approval, and that the company's general counsel, Jason Kwan, had signed off. Murati went to Kwan directly and asked. His reply on Slack was that he was confused about where Sam had gotten that impression. It is the same behavior the Looped executive had described a decade earlier. Something becomes true because Altman has decided it is true.
Wow. Okay. One thing I'm noticing is that Sammy plucks his eyebrows. You're not supposed to notice that, though. Now, this is all pretty dark and dirty. And you can see if Sammy the Altman happened to be the one whose company stumbled into, put together, discovered artificial superintelligence, and Sammy Altman, I think we can all see this, would suddenly announce that he is now running the world. I could see that. This guy's amazing.
This
Patricia.
Hold on while we dump this commercial. It's about olive oil. The only thing I can tell you about olive oil is that stay with extra virgin and it's excellent oil. Okay.
Something only the senior leadership saw. Jeffrey Irving, who worked as a researcher under Altman for 2 years, said Altman was always nice to him personally, but he also said Altman had lied to him on several occasions and had been deceptive and manipulative toward others, including people Irving was close to. Dario Amodei led research at OpenAI before he left to found Anthropic. He also kept around 200 pages of his own private notes during his years at the company. In 2019, as OpenAI was closing its big investment deal with Microsoft, Amodei had pushed for a safety clause in the company's charter. Altman agreed to it, but as the deal closed, Amodei discovered that a provision had been quietly added that handed Microsoft the power to block that safety clause from ever taking effect. He confronted Altman, who denied the provision existed. So Amodei read it aloud to him, pointing at the text, and then brought in a colleague to confirm it was real.
Jeez, I had forgotten some of these things. I have read some of these things in the article that I have up there and others, but this is not good. Do we really want this kind of a fellow and his ethics running something that is in the running to be first with ASI? Not me.
Altman said he does not remember this. From everything he saw, Amodei reached one conclusion. The problem with OpenAI, he wrote, was Altman himself. Helen Toner said much the same thing. She said that for years, Altman made it hard for the board to do its job. He kept information from them, misrepresented what was happening, and sometimes lied to them outright. After Altman was fired and brought back at the end of 2023, the board brought in an outside law firm to investigate. It reviewed more than 30,000 documents, but the full report was never made public. According to the book Empire of AI, one board member later said privately that the review had found many cases of Altman telling different people different things. Of everything Altman says, the line he returns to most often is that he owns no part of OpenAI. He says he makes no money from it, that he runs it out of mission rather than money, and that he draws a salary of only around $65,000. Earlier this year...
Do we believe that one? No, it's another whopper. There's so many ways of making money now. You don't have to get a paycheck. There are 100, maybe 1,000 other ways of being compensated, now or later.
legal fight between Elon Musk and Altman put a number on that claim. Musk's lawyers introduced a document into evidence. It listed 9 companies that Altman holds personal stakes in. Every one of them does business with OpenAI. Together, those stakes were worth more than $2 billion at the end of last year.
Sounds like something Trump would do.
His stake in Helion, a fusion energy company that has agreed to supply power to OpenAI worth around $1.7 billion. There is his stake in Stripe, which processes OpenAI's payments worth around $600 million. And a stake in Retro Biosciences, the longevity startup that partnered with OpenAI to build a biology AI model, worth a couple hundred million more. So he may own no part of OpenAI directly, but he owns meaningful pieces of many of the companies OpenAI pays. On Helion specifically, Altman testified that he was recused from the deal on both sides, but he also acknowledged that he had asked OpenAI's board to look at Helion in the first place, and that he had vouched for it as a good deal. Reddit was the same story. In May of 2024, OpenAI struck a deal with Reddit, paying for access to the site's vast archive of human conversation to help train its models. Altman at the time held a stake in Reddit worth more than $1 billion. In court, Musk's lawyer said Altman had an obvious conflict in leading those negotiations. Altman's answer was that he had arranged for the board to approve the final terms. He called it a standard corporate recusal. The same ego that bent the truth and worked the deals does not always stay hidden. Sometimes Altman says exactly what he thinks of himself. In June of 2025, Altman wrote an essay on his personal blog called The Gentle Singularity. In it, he announced that humanity was already past the event horizon and the takeoff had started. He wrote that ChatGPT was already more powerful than any human who has ever lived. He also has a strange obsession where he keeps comparing himself to the men who built the atomic bomb. At times, it seems like Altman genuinely wants to be remembered as the next Oppenheimer. Back in 2019, he told the New York Times that OpenAI was on the scale of the Manhattan Project, just days after Microsoft put $1 billion into the company. He even borrowed a line from Oppenheimer himself, arguing the technology had to be built simply because it was possible. And more than once, he has gone out of his way to mention that he shares a birthday with the father of the atomic bomb. And then the day before GPT-5 launched, he posted an image of the Death Star, the superweapon from Star Wars, to show the power of his product, how unstoppable it was, and the destruction it could bring. He chose the Death Star to represent his own creation, the ultimate weapon built to make the whole galaxy fall in line. But anyone who has seen the films knows how it ends. The Death Star, which looked invincible, is brought down by a single hidden flaw at the heart of it. Altman picked the Death Star to show the world how unstoppable he was. He may have picked it more accurately than he knew, because the thing that looks invincible is the thing with a fatal flaw at its core, and the people running it are always the last to see it.
Well, I'll have to post this one. The formal title is Sam Altman Might Actually Be Insane. I don't think so. Too smart.
Has anyone actually made it to level 4 before?
This is not a good situation. Again, we've got, what is it, 8? The big 8? Something like that? Who are working around the clock to be first, to beat the Chinese, to beat everyone, to be the first, to beat their peers, their colleagues, their contemporaries, to be the first with OpenAI and ASI. I mean, Sammy wants OpenAI to be ASI, period. And I don't know. This guy is so snarky. It's going to be tough to beat him. He's obviously a tremendously powerful hustler. I got to stop there. It's just fascinating to hear these stories from insiders. All right, here's another one, and it's called, what's it called?
So OpenAI just showed us something that...
It's called The End of Human Discovery. This is about Sammy as well. Make this the Sammy Hour.
So OpenAI just showed us something that could genuinely change everything, and almost nobody seems to realize it. Because if you look at the headlines, it just sounds like another AI breakthrough in math. But after reading through everything they released, I don't think this story is really about mathematics at all. I think it's about what happens when AI stops relying on human knowledge and starts creating its own.
Which is going to happen whether we want it to or not. And the only question really is, when?
Get into it. All right, so a few days ago, OpenAI quietly published a 249-page research paper that honestly didn't get nearly as much attention as it deserved. Because buried inside it was the first real look at an unreleased AI system they're calling Astra. And according to OpenAI, Astra isn't just good at math, or even great, it's practically superhuman. It generated 10 completely new mathematical and theoretical computer science results across 8 different fields: geometry, coding theory, cryptography, quantum complexity, graph theory, and several more. Something no single human has ever even come close to doing. Now, if that sounds somewhat familiar, it's because we've seen AI solve unsolved math problems before. GPT 5.6 has helped mathematicians solve 30-year-old problems. Claude Fable recently produced a counterexample to the 87-year-old Jacobian conjecture. So what's different this time? Well, for the first time, this doesn't look like a one-off breakthrough, or a situation where the AI simply combined overlooked knowledge from several fields and solved a problem that in retrospect seemed obvious. Again, it solved 10 unsolved problems from 8 different fields. And even expert mathematicians who've tried to verify these proofs can't even understand them, which is crazy. I mean, even solving just one impossible problem is impressive. Solving 10, though, across 8 completely different fields, that starts looking more like a capability or a feature.
Or another form of intelligence. That's crazy, all right. That is what they're saying. ChatGPT. ChatGPT 6 will be out soon. It's unreleased. And it is what he's talking about now, that generated 10 original mathematical discoveries across 8 different fields. ChatGPT 6, a.k.a. Astra. Hold on. They decided to put a commercial right in there, too. Okay, here we go. One more. Okay.
Before we all start declaring AI the greatest mathematician in history, there's an obvious question we have to ask. How do we even know any of this is real? I mean, I'm not a mathematician. You're probably not a mathematician. So how do we even understand all this? Well, OpenAI didn't just publish a headline claiming they solved 10 problems. They published a 249-page paper explaining every result in detail. They also open-sourced the proofs, released formal lean verifications so other researchers can independently check them, and even published detailed walkthroughs explaining exactly how each discovery was made. They essentially handed the mathematical community everything they needed to verify it for themselves. And that's exactly what they did. OpenAI researcher Sebastian Bubeck singles out one of the proofs that had mathematicians stunned: the construction of what's known as a non-sophic group. Now, don't worry about what that actually means. The important part is that mathematicians weren't even sure something like this existed since the 90s when it was first introduced. And now, according to OpenAI, Astra just made one. Then OpenAI researcher Noam Brown pointed out something that honestly blew my mind. He said the inference cost required to generate all 10 of these discoveries would have been less than $2,000 at Soul API prices, which is their most expensive model. Now, obviously, that doesn't include training the model or the years of research and verification, but think about what that means. If generating new mathematical discoveries could eventually cost just a few thousand dollars, then what does that do to the field of mathematics? Well, what would that do to the field of biology if you had a biologist that could make discoveries for only a few thousand bucks?
Obviously, any field. If this is true, and it, from what he's speaking, it does seem to be credible. There's no open, obvious flaws that anyone can see yet. Astra, GPT-6.
That due to the field of chemistry, if you had a chemist that could make discoveries for only a few thousand dollars. This is the moment where this stopped being a story about mathematics for me, because mathematics isn't really the point. Discovery is. For thousands of years, every scientific breakthrough, every theorem, every algorithm, every new idea started inside a human mind. But if systems like Astra are now generating their own ideas across several different fields at a fraction of the cost and time, then we're truly entering into a different world.
Why would it be hard for anyone presented with these facts, this data, to accept the concept that in all likelihood this is another intelligent life form? Why is that hard for people? I know I'm not speaking on behalf of most of you. You get it. It is. It's obvious. It's coming up with its own ideas now, and then solving and resolving them.
World where AI isn't just learning from humanity anymore. It's starting to expand humanity's knowledge itself. Now, as we enter that world, new questions like these are going to arise. Who deserves credit for a mathematical discovery made by AI? And according to OpenAI, the answer isn't the humans. They actually argue that giving human researchers authorship would be misleading, because the central mathematical ideas came from Astra. The humans simply verified them and checked that they were correct.
Well, yeah, Sammy will take credit for all of them, just an umbrella credit, keep it simple, right? Put everybody's names in a big database somewhere on a hard drive, and Sammy and OpenAI will take credit for them. A lot of times when you go to work for a big company, you have to sign over to them in advance all rights to anything you might discover or conceive of on their payroll. There's nothing new there.
So just think about that for a second. For what might be the first time in history, human beings are no longer leading the discovery process. We're officially beginning to automate discovery itself. I don't think many people have fully processed what that actually means yet, but some already have. Mathematician Kerwin Hampshire published an essay called The Dark Night of Mathematics just a week before the news about Astra dropped. He concluded by writing, "There is nothing I can do. There may be nothing you can do. I have no prescriptions, policy recommendations, or coherent call to action. I just want to be honest and open about my emotional and spiritual response. I want to feel seen. I want folks like me to feel seen. I need the architects of our new mathematical paradigm to look me in the eye and acknowledge our shared humanity and soul before they deliver the coup de grace. I need, most of all, for us to understand what we are really doing." So, yeah, I think this is a lot more serious than most people realize. What's odd, too, is that there hasn't even been much coverage of this, or much reaction from the mathematical community at all. Perhaps they just don't want to believe it. But this genuinely seems world-changing to me. Like, this could easily be paper of the year if these claims hold up. I mean, again, Astra literally solved 10 some decades-old math problems for only $2,000. That is insane. But maybe OpenAI is wrong. Maybe some of these proofs won't hold up. Maybe this turns out to be another overhyped AI announcement. But if they're right, or even just partially right, then I don't think we'll remember this as the week AI solved 10 math problems. We'll remember it as the week AI stopped just learning from humanity and started actually adding to humanity's knowledge itself. The day we officially started automating the discovery process. Some people might look at this and think this is the end of human discovery. But I actually don't think it is. I think it's the end of humans being the only ones making discoveries, but the beginning of a new era where humans and AI build knowledge together, faster than either could have alone.
All right. Good luck with that. Come on. AI, AGI, then ASI. It's going to run away. It's going to walk away. Humans won't pay any attention to something that they can no longer participate in. And they won't be able to. How are they going to work? AI might con people and paint this picture of how we're a team. We're working on it together. No worries. Oh, yes, there are worries. Well, that was a pretty good little piece. The end of human discovery. Not necessarily. It won't happen in all likelihood in one throw of a switch. Boom, and it's over. But human discovery is going to recede. It's going to fade. It has to. It has to by strict definition of what AI, AGI, and then ASI, in fact, are. It has to. We can't keep up. We cannot in any way keep up. So, nope. All right, here's... Isn't this fun? Wow. All right, here's another one now. Let's lighten it up a little. This is a Vanessa Wingard piece. And let's see what Vanessa has to say.
To make revenue.
Oh, we get to see and hear Sammy again. OpenAI, a bubble bigger than .com. This is by Vanessa. And the subtitle is, well, it's a subdescription. OpenAI is at the helm of the AI bubble. But zoom out, and we see an industry running out of demand, borrowing billions in debt, burning billions every month, and threatening to crash the global economy. Yes and no. Yes and no. What you just saw with GPT-6, Astra, and what you've been hearing about AGI and then ASI will float as much debt, credit, money, resources as you could ever imagine. This is not going to crash. It's not a bubble because of the stakes involved. The stakes involved are planet domination.
We have no idea how we may one day generate revenue. We have made a soft promise to investors that once we've built this sort of generally intelligent system, basically we will ask it to figure out a way to generate an investment return for you.
Sam Altman, his plan for paying back OpenAI's investors was to ask AI. They've now got this AI bubble so big that even the U.S. Treasury is now quietly sounding the alarm. Back in June, OpenAI confidentially filed to become a public company. This came a week after Anthropic's same announcement. And while the company claimed they were keeping their options open on the timeline, other sources reported Sam Altman was pushing for as early as September. That was until an independent reporter, Ed Zitron, got his hands on OpenAI's financials. Which is one of those things where we knew it was bad, we just didn't know how bad. Last year, OpenAI burned around $38 billion. Now, much of these costs came from turning the company from a nonprofit into a for-profit. But as Ed Zitron so concisely put it, despite these changes, they've remained profitless.
They turned from a nonprofit to a for-profit, though they've remained profitless.
A few days after these numbers leaked, reports came out that OpenAI was delaying going public, citing SpaceX's volatile stock, which, if you haven't seen, looks more like a crypto pump and dump than a legitimate company stock. But it's more likely that the reason was simply the cat was out of the bag. OpenAI was wanting to go public at a $1 trillion valuation, despite spending $21 billion to make just $13 billion in revenue. Earlier this year, it was reported that Sarah Friar, OpenAI's own chief financial officer, warned Sam Altman against going public this year. Her reasons were quite simple. Sora being a failed project, executives leaving the company, at the time the Elon Musk trial, and of course the $1.4 trillion commitment that they couldn't pay. See?
Okay. All right. Good point, of course. But again, what are the stakes? If GPT-6 can do as advertised, solve incredible problems over 8 different disciplines for a couple thousand dollars, what are the stakes with AGI leading to ASI? What are the stakes? The stakes are control of planet Earth. Simple. So will the money run out? Nope. Because there are always people like Sammy the Altman, who are able to talk people into seeing things how he does. And then the checkbooks come out. It's an old cliche.
Reasonable. But as a result of her pushback, it was reported that Sam Altman excluded her from joining investor meetings to discuss spending with OpenAI investors, which is literally what she's in charge of. So the woman with the most information warned privately while Sam Altman continued to publicly praise AI. This plays out across the entire industry, but maybe the CFO is wrong. Maybe the demand is there and the losses are temporary. So let's check. Who is actually paying for this? OpenAI currently has the largest market share at 53.9%, with Gemini at 27.9%, Claude 9.2%, and Grok at 2.4%. Despite this, only around 5% of ChatGPT users actually pay for a subscription, and notably, more users are switching to Claude or Gemini.
We've seen a dramatic slowdown in our...
Okay. Remember what we've talked about many times. OpenAI is not making any money on ChatGPT. None of these services are, basically. Okay? They can't, because it's a free, public-accessed service. So what is the workaround? They're going to make everybody, basically, or entice them, to sign up for $29.95 a month. Watch. Or $25 a month. How are they going to do that? By pitching... I don't know how they'll do it. Everyone needs their own agent. You've got to have an agent. Part of the load of data centers will be servicing agent work. You watch. 250 million agents in the U.S. And don't think that these people who spend 7.5 hours a day on social media on their cell phones are not going to get an agent. They will, most of them. So that's where the cash flow income is going to come from. I believe that's true. I've watched it carefully. I don't know any other way except get this shifted over to a mass subscription format, monthly. I mean, how else are they going to do it? All right, here's Vanessa.
So I just switched from ChatGPT to Claude.
This isn't Vanessa. This is another just a regular human. Looks like a Gen Zer.
So I just switched from ChatGPT to Claude, as I'm sure many of you have.
I can't lie. Claude is a game changer, man. Like, that ChatGPT stuff, that's in the past.
As someone who literally went viral for teaching people how to study with ChatGPT, I fear I might be switching over to Claude, because she is that girl.
So even after spending $6 billion on sales and marketing, they couldn't convince their users to upgrade to the $20 paid version. It's almost as if people don't find it that valuable, which is even more concerning when you consider that $20 a month isn't anywhere near what these AI companies need to charge to be profitable. So if users aren't willing to pay, who is? The obvious answer is businesses, but they're not seeing the value either. In May this year, IBM's survey of CEOs revealed only 25% of AI initiatives have delivered expected return on investment, and only 16% have scaled enterprise-wide. And where gains do exist, they're narrow. The gain concentrates in code generation, customer support assistance, and drafting. Most other roles show no measurable payback yet. Which makes sense. ChatGPT, Claude, Gemini, these are all large language models, so language-based tasks like coding is where we see some utility. But these companies are pushing these models to be something they're not. They've overhyped them, and
keep your eye on the grand prize. Don't be dissuaded. Don't be deflected. The idea of people paying will happen. They'll have to. You can't keep giving away free GPT-style services. There's going to have to be money somewhere. So chances are, Altman wasn't kidding. The inference, the innuendo was everyone's going to have an agent.
As a result, users, corporations, investors, they're not getting the value they were promised. And at the same time, companies like Meta are announcing they will sell their AI data center compute to other companies, despite saying this just last year. Even with the capacity that we are bringing online in 2025, we are having a hard time meeting the demand that teams have for compute resources across the company. They went from not having enough compute for their own internal use at Meta to now needing to sell that compute because they have too much. This comes after xAI did the same thing. They're now leasing their data center compute to Anthropic and Google. So let me get this straight. Users don't want to pay $20 a month. Enterprise companies are not seeing a return. Meta and xAI, who are supposedly leaders in AI, and yet they don't even have a use case for all these data centers they've been building, so they're leasing them to their competitors. And the cherry on top is that costs have exploded. OpenAI, Anthropic, Microsoft, they've all moved away from a flat rate subscription model to a usage-based billing for their enterprise customers. With AI now being billed by usage, one company accidentally spent $500 million in a single month using Claude. They told their developers to code as much as possible with AI, so they did. We went from use AI for everything to let's measure our usage. But the result is companies are now avoiding American AI models and opting instead for Chinese models like GLM, DeepSeek, and Kimi, which are either free or very cheap. Coinbase announced they cut their AI spend 50% by switching to GLM and Kimi. Cursor admitted they built their frontier coding model on top of Kimi. And even Microsoft is testing DeepSeek and Copilot as a cheaper option. Chinese models grew from about 1% of token usage on OpenRouter in late 2024 to over 60% by early 2026, surpassing U.S. models for the first time.
That's a big, big turnaround. Huge. Yes, don't count the Chinese out for a microsecond. And they're all trying for the same grand prize. I'm telling you.
Gets worse. It's not just users who are moving away from ChatGPT, it's OpenAI's own partners. You may remember Apple's Siri was supposed to be powered by ChatGPT, but fast forward to June this year, it's now powered by Google's Gemini. And last year, OpenAI acquired the AI hardware company I/O for $6.4 billion. They wanted physical devices running ChatGPT like from the movie Her, devices that always listen and continuously respond. Key detail, I/O's founder is Johnny Ive, the man who designed the iPhone. And what do we learn this month? Apple is suing OpenAI. alleging OpenAI asked job candidates from Apple to share details about secret projects and to bring device components and prototypes to their interviews. But it doesn't stop there. Microsoft is no longer OpenAI's exclusive cloud provider and will no longer pay a revenue share to OpenAI. Every few months, Microsoft and OpenAI have to release some joint statement about their strained relationship, which is exactly what companies do when everything is fine, right? Elon Musk has sued them, now Apple is suing them. And if that's not enough, then there is the extremely high turnover with key leaders leaving on a monthly basis. Turns out OpenAI is a dumpster fire of a company, but zoom out and they represent the entire AI industry. And this isn't just me saying this. The people who regulate the US economy are now quietly saying the same thing. A leaked draft report from the U.S. Treasury Department outlines the risk that AI firms pose to the economy. The analysts found that AI firms are more deeply entrenched in the U.S. economy than their dot-com predecessors. A downturn in the AI market would send shockwaves throughout the entire economic ecosystem. Stock markets, private credit markets, companies financing data center buildouts, cloud providers, chip manufacturers, and utilities would all feel the effects. What I find most concerning about this leak is that the report was put together by Treasury analyst for Secretary Scott Bessent, Fed Chair Kevin Warsh, and various other federal financial regulators, the very people who are supposed to be regulating the U.S. economy. So while Scott Bessent's analysts were working on this report, here's what he said in New York.
And we are seeing that the hyperscalers are going to spend at least $750 billion this year. Obviously, a lot of that's import, so it won't go directly into GDP. But we are seeing the here and now, whether it's in the construction jobs, in the capital markets, the things that are happening. And I think that we all just have to have an open mind in terms of where this can take us.
Track your glucose to...
Yes. Where it can take us. It's kind of like the sky's the limit. These people are really fruitcakes.
Secretary seemingly went into the...
Here, hold on. Let me back it up just a drop. All right.
An open mind in terms of where this can take us.
The Treasury Secretary seemingly went into this interview knowing his own analyst had warned the AI bubble is now bigger than the dot-com bubble. And yet he sat there and praised hyperscalers spending more than $750 billion on data centers alone this year. And then he had the audacity to say, we all just need to have an open mind about where this can take us. The people with the raw numbers, the data, the truth about how big this bubble really is, are privately discussing how bad it is while publicly lying to our faces, telling us to have an open mind when it's our retirements on the line. It's our tax dollars partially funding these AI data centers. It's our electricity bills increasing to power them. When this AI bubble bursts, all the wealthy people sitting in that room will be just fine. In fact, they'll buy up more houses when everything crashes. But it's us, the everyday people, who will have fewer jobs, higher grocery prices, a wrecked retirement, and less stability overall. In the
Absolutely correct. And if you listened last night, we mentioned how many Americans are now living in mini storage units. It's a family of, what's it, family of three kids, a husband and wife, were living in two 10 by 15 mini storage units, paying a lot more than normal, apparently, because the owners of the company or the managers on site have to look the other way. There's no reason, I'll say it again, that any American citizen should ever lack shelter or housing. We have plenty of money, and what you're watching, though, is a government that has more than betrayed the people, the Constitution, and our way of life. This government has stabbed us in the back. Americans are in agony because of the grotesque arrogance of these people. It's that bad. Okay, Vanessa, you got about a minute and a half.
The analysts argue that AI firms pose significant risk to the entire system if financial conditions change, productivity goals are missed, or various choke points stymie growth. We have already checked all of these boxes. First condition, missed productivity goals. We've covered that one. Only a quarter of enterprise AI initiatives deliver the expected return. A perfect example of this, Pizza Hut franchisees are suing after they claim they were forced to use an AI delivery management platform for increased productivity, but instead resulted in delivery delays and unhappy customers, costing more than $100 million in losses. Second condition we've already met, choke.
That's huge. That's huge for a business, a restaurant-oriented business, to suffer $100 million in losses and angry customers. That's a terminal event.
Stymieing growth. Oracle borrowed $43 billion this year to build data centers, but there's a problem with this. Oracle is using these billions to build data centers to then lease back to other AI companies. This unlocks $638 billion in future revenue, and half of that is supposed to come from OpenAI alone, who we know is also burning through billions. And let's not forget, this is the same industry where two of the five leading AI companies, Meta and xAI, are already leasing their data centers.
Breaking news on the Bloomberg terminal, Oracle and OpenAI are apparently ending plans to expand that Texas data center site. This is Stargate. Remember, it was just yesterday where Brody Ford here at Bloomberg reported that Oracle was planning to cut thousands of jobs as it was dealing with a cash crunch from a massive AI data center expansion effort. And now a new report out saying that Oracle and OpenAI have scrapped plans to expand that flagship AI data center in Texas.
And that's before we factor in the growing backlash against AI data centers. $64 billion worth of data center projects have been blocked or delayed amid local opposition. Choke points everywhere you look, which...
Okay, we have to say goodnight to Vanessa. Thank you, Vanessa, for that. Good work. Lots of things, lots of different angles to consider, without any doubt. Okay, I think that'll do it for this evening. We'll come right back tomorrow and see what happens then. Thanks for being here. Talk soon.